I'm reporting on work done in collaboration with Stefan Stieberger while here at ITP, and there's also forthcoming work, I hope so at least, with Nick Warner. Now the issue is to study deep brain interactions, and usually one considers an idealized situation in that one considers the relevant brains to be very close to each other and forgets the influence of any other brains. Yeah, they're sort of far away. But however, if you want to ultimately compute some exact quantities, like non-trivial coupling functions, and this is exactly what we do, what we want to do to test string dualities, we need to, of course, take the effect of all the brains into account, and this means we have to study the global structure of these interactions, and in particular, we have to take into account the presence and monodromies of any other brain in the theory. Now, I want to explain sort of, well, some first steps, how this can be done sort of in a particular context. Yeah? And of course, one cannot do this for arbitrary coupling in the effective Lagrangian. One usually considers preferred couplings, namely those which are essentially given by holomorphic functions and which are, in a sense, semi-topological. And the prototypical example of such a coupling is, of course, the theta angle. So one has an effective field-dependent theta angle, and one complexifies it also and has an additional coupling, and one calls it tau. And in the appropriate favorable circumstances, one has perturbative corrections to one loop order only. Yeah? And perhaps or sometimes not non-perturbative corrections. Yeah? Now, how are we able to compute such kinds of couplings? Well, there are many examples, in particular in four dimensions with n equal to supersymmetry, in particular the Seibig-Witten theory or stringy versions of that. And these computations typically involve solving differential equations or evaluating period integrals, which is always somehow related to mirror symmetry in one or another way. Yeah? Mirror symmetry has, of course, a very concrete geometric meaning. And so we want to understand or we want to see how or whether they can use mirror symmetry to study all the deep brain interactions. Now, there are always two sides or several sides to the story. And one side of the story is the heterotic string compactified on a two torus, for example. So one considers here 4, 6, or 10 dimensional chiral heterotic strings compactified on T2. The T2 has moduli T and U, yeah, the ordinary complex structure and Keeler moduli, and we expect that the effective couplings will depend on these moduli in a particular way, and we want to compute these couplings. Yeah? And the relevant amplitude here in 8 dimensions, for example, is giving rise to an F to the 4 interaction. Yeah? Have this generic structure, one has a piece which is essentially the torus partition function, which provides a T and U dependence to the expression, and there's another piece which is the elliptic genus, which provides here the wedge product of the field strengths to this expression. Yeah? And there's a modular integral to be done, which is in general very complicated, but these integrals have a certain structure, and it turns out that these integrals can more or less all be solved by techniques introduced first by Dixon, Kaplanowski, and Lewis, and these techniques were then later extended by Harvey, Moore, and other people. Yeah? Now, in four dimensions, the story, yeah, where we have just F to the F square effective action terms, this story is very well investigated. One has compared heterotic string computations to type 2 string compactification on Calabi-Yau's. One has employed mirror symmetry and then finds the matching of these expressions. Yeah? So this is very old and well known. But something new can be learned in the eight-dimensional case, and this is what I'm turning to now. So in 8 dimensions, the relevant coupling is a F to the 4 coupling, yeah, a wedge product, yeah, and a certain coupling functions. And one can do the integrals as well, but there's lots of work, but essentially straightforward. And it turns out that these couplings have a surprisingly simple structure. First of all, the structure is like, or is actually analogous to the structure one has in 4 dimensions. And the interesting point is that actually these couplings satisfy an integrability condition so that they can be derived from a prepotential G, yeah, and this prepotential has more or less the same form as ordinary prepotentials one knows from Calabi-Yau's, except that the fifth polylogarithm appears here, not the third polylogarithm. Then one has also certain integral coefficients, which, by the way, are related to the expansion coefficients of the eta function. Now, in 8 dimensions, this is an exact result, because there are no space of incidental corrections. And therefore, this is a good testing ground to test string dualities. And the typical behavior of, you know, depending on exactly where we look in the modular space. A typical behavior of a typical coupling is a logarithmic singularity, and one has something like log j of t minus j of u, where j is the usual j function, yeah, plus further finite pieces. Now the question is, of course, can we use this expression for something? Can we use this to test some duality? And of course, the heterotic string on T2 is supposed to be dual to F theory on K3, so we should be able to reproduce this coupling and others from somehow K3 geometry. But this poses an immediate puzzle, and this is why the situation is interesting. Namely, the couplings have the generic form, as it's well known for mirror symmetry. If you take a further derivative, we have a five-point coupling of this form. This looks like virtual instanton corrections, but we have a situation where the geometry is given by K3, and there's no obvious way how to compute such a function, a non-trivial holomorphic function, a five-point function from a K3 surface. The point is that ordinary mirror symmetry computations on a default give some information about deep-point functions. So in this case, the ordinary mirror symmetry computation gives a two-point function, which is known to be constant and trivial. And there's no good known way to really compute a five-point function from a K3. And this means we find here a novel manifestation of the mirror map. And this is exactly what I want to talk about. Now, since we really don't know how to compute it in a mathematical way, we try to do it in a physicist's way and ask very, very naively, how can these f to the 4 terms at all be generated in F-theory? F-theory is, of course, well known to be given by a type 2 V-string compactified on P1 with 24 extra 7 grains. So one has this kind of situation. And the point is that there are certain world volume couplings on the 7 grains of this generic form, which was investigated by many people. And in particular, there are couplings between antisymmetric Ramon-Ramon tensor fields to powers of field strengths. And certainly integrating out these Ramon-Ramon tensor fields, the p-forms CP, will give rise exactly to wedge product terms of this sort in the space-time. And the point is also that on the c-plane, these antisymmetric tensor fields behave exactly like ordinary scalars, so we expect the Green's function of these fields to be given by Green's function of free scalars, which have a logarithmic singularity at coincident points, plus further finite pieces. Now to go on, we would like to study a simplified situation because dealing with 24 of such brains is very complicated. So we group together as many brains as we can and in a meaningful way. So we consider a situation where we have two E8 singularities, two E8 types of 7 planes, where 10 7 brains are multilinear non-local 7 brains are contained here. We have two of those, and then we have two of what we call H0 brains or planes, which contain two multilinear non-local 7 brains. So in total, we have 24 7 brains as we should have. So this is a situation which has just one modulus, namely we have 3 points, we can fix 3 points on the complex plane, and we have just one moving. And it corresponds to the heterotic string compactified on T2 with the 8 cross the 8 gauge symmetry, where we freeze the U modulus of the torus to be a third root of unity. So we have just one modulus T surviving, and we want to compute couplings as functions of T. Now, the relevant K3 has been written down before by Raffa and Morrison and Raffa, and it contains here these positions of these 7 planes. And then one can perform a mirror map. This means one transforms these coordinates to flat coordinates, and this is in practice done by solving a particular Schwarzschild differential equation. Then one finds that the positions of these extra planes, we can of course fix 3 and just consider just one moving, but we can also do it in this way. And the mirror map is just given here, we express these positions in terms of T via the J function again. This comes out. And this just means if you consider, for example, the coupling TTUU, this means a four point function of Fs, then the coupling is just given by the Green's function of C4 of this antisymmetric tensor field, and it's just given, the singular behavior is given by the differences of these points in the Z-plane, and this is just the J function if you plug in the result from the mirror symmetry computation. So we obtain log J of T, and this is exactly the right thing, because we obtain from the heterotic string as leading piece log J of T minus log J of U, and J of U is zero because we froze the modulus U to the value where this J function vanishes. So in leading order, the leading singularity is correctly reproduced, and we saw that the mirror symmetry which I mean here the map to flat coordinates is going to play an important role. But we can make an important insight this year, by just slowly repeating the philosophy behind this, we just consider again these two H0 brains, or any seven brains if you like, and it's well known that such a scattering process, such an interaction can be viewed in two dual ways. Either we can view it as a closed string exchange, which means exchange here of the closed string anti-Semitic tensor field C, and the amplitude is given by the difference of the Z's here, distance in the Z-plane, but we can also alternatively view this as coming from open strings at one loop order, maybe sum over open strings, and take log of the masses. So let's see what the masses of the open strings are, and this was well investigated some while ago by Sen in particular. The masses are given by these differences in a W-plane, which is obtained by the C-plane by performing an integral, this is essentially a period integral. So, more concretely, the two ways of looking at the singularity are as follows. If the two H0 brains come close together, you have three strings. Actually, if they coincide, we have three strings which go between them becoming massless, and we have a gauge symmetry enhancement to H3, and the mass of these strings is given by the absolute value of A, given by this expression, this vanishes, of course. So if we perform the sum over the open string states, sum log MI, you obtain 3 log A as leading singularity. However, in the closed string language, we saw that the contribution is just given by a C4 exchange. So we have a Green's function of C4 entering here. We saw this is log J of T, and now we note that the J function at this region modulus space expands as A cube. We obtain also in the same way 3 log A. But what this means is that we have the closed string exchange, the simple J function, contains the information of these three open string states, and because there's an enormous expansion of this J function, we have infinitely many terms, we see that the closed string exchange essentially sums up infinitely many open string contributions. And this is known, of course, implicitly since a long time, but here we have really a quantitative model to study this. So this is what I mean with a novel manifestation of mirror symmetry. This mirror symmetry essentially acts between open and closed string sectors. So in the closed string sector, the coupling is given by the log of the difference in the C-plane, and the open string sector is a sum of logs of differences in the W-plane, where the W-plane is essentially, periods, so the distances are essentially periods, actually K3 periods, and the distances in the Z-plane are non-trivial functions of the periods, namely something like J of T. And this map T goes to J of T, or something like that, is the mirror map. Now, however, we want to do more and actually compute the full result, not just the leading singularity. There's also a finite piece here, and this is much harder to come by, actually. And this boils down, in particular, to find the finite pieces of the Green functions. So what are the finite pieces of the Green functions? Certainly, they will reflect the monotomy and presence of any other brains in the theory. In particular, in other words, they reflect the global structure of the theory. So how can we make use of this global structure? Well, if you hear global structure, we always think about monotomies, of course. And indeed, let's study the monotomy properties. Now, in the particular subspace that we have been considering, namely the U is frozen to a third root of unity, which is also equal to the type of least coupling constant. This is a case where the coupling constant is constant over the, really constant over the C-plane. All the monotomies are of finite order. They are not no net logarithmic monotomies left, because we have made certain non-local compounds of these seven planes. All they are just finite monotomy given by ST, the modular transformation ST, which cubes to minus one. And this means the seven planes effectively behave like Z6 twist fields, sigma and sigma bar, which arise in a C6 orbifold computation where the C-plane plays just the role of the three-level worldsheet. And the fields which are twisted under these twist fields are, of course, the Nebel-Schwarz and Ramon-Ramon anti-Semitic tensor fields, because they pick up phases or not even monotonies if they go around seven brains. So we expect that the Green's functions are given by these kind of scalar fields, namely combinations of C and B fields, in the presence of twist fields. Now, if we have twist, C6, this is sort of an awkward number, we can do, of course, in a similar way, a whole other variety of examples and cases. We can generalize this C6 case actually to say 2, 3, 4, and even other ones. We have similar various choices of K3s, and we have always sort of four brains here left, three brains, the position of three brains, they are fixed, and we have one modulus left here, which is the position of the fourth brain. And the gauge symmetries range from E8, E7, E6, SO8, and this is the case we have been just discussing, and this case, the Z2 twist case, is the case with SO8 to the 4-gauge symmetry, and this is the case which was investigated by Zen in some other aspects. Now, we want to compute the Green's functions of these scalar fields, and want sort of to make the global properties, the multivalentness and monotony properties, right. And of course, the right way of doing this is to lift now the C plane. Yeah. We had some twist fields, which were the 7 planes, with C6 or the N cuts going in between them. Yeah. So we have N copies of the C plane. We can go to a cover of this surface and obtain a genus N minus 1 Riemann surface. Yeah. And these Riemann surfaces, which appear here, just turn out to be certain CN symmetric versions of the well-known cyber-Gibbon curves for SUN, but this is just an accident. There's no deeper relationship to that. Yeah? And I can check that, for example, the periods, yeah, the period integrals related to these surfaces do reproduce exactly the relevant K3 periods. So we capture the relevant geometry of the K3 in terms of Riemann surfaces. Now, if you want to get at the Green's functions, well, the Green's function on higher genus Riemann surfaces are well known, yeah, of scalar fields. They're given by the prime form, which is a complicated expression which involves certain theta functions and minus 1/2 differentials and so on. And the only important point here to note is that this Green function has a unique divergence here, divergence, and the only divergence is at two coincident points. Now, this Green's function is actually quite complicated to evaluate explicitly. The easiest case is, of course, where it corresponds to a genus 1 surface, and that corresponds to the Z2 twisted version, namely to the model which has SO8 to the 4-gauge symmetry. Yeah? So this is much easier to deal with. So we have 4 planes with SO8 symmetry, and the open strings which go between any 2 planes just correspond to half periods on this surface. And we now consider couplings, say, between any pair of SO8-1 and SO8-2, yeah, in any pairs of SO8s. So we have various couplings here. And we need to plug in here just the Green's function of the antisymmetric tensor field C4, which is supposedly given by the Z2 even Green's function on the torus, which is given by whose holomorphic or harmonic part is given here by this logarithm of the theta functions. Yeah? And now one can also use that the positions of the brains are not arbitrary, they are just located here at these half period points, and then I can use some theta function identities to write down the Green's function in a very simple way. They're just given here as logs of theta I over theta 1 prime. And the point is that these three couplings indeed do match exactly the one loop couplings one obtains on the heterotic side in the situation where we have SO8 gauge symmetry. Yeah? This is a very innocent sentence, but the main work really involved in doing these integrals. This was really hard work. Yeah? And they really come out exactly like that. Yeah? So we do have managed to compute some piece of an effective action somehow from geometry, from K3 geometry, ultimately, but we have not really understood so far the really right, the mathematically right way of doing this. So let me come to a conclusion. We have seen that a novel manifestation of mirror symmetry allows to compute certain holomorphic five-point functions, if you like, by taking a further derivative from K3 surfaces. But the right way of doing it needs still to be found, the mathematically clear way. And these couplings coincide, at least in the case we have checked, with the one-loop couplings of the heterotic string compactified on T2. And this, therefore, provides the first quantitative test of heterotic FTA duality. With quantitative test, I mean really comparing pieces of the effective Lagrangian, not just comparing spectra and so on. Now, this mirror map, as we have seen, essentially maps between open and closed string sectors. And this is likely to have some other applications, and hopefully maybe also in this ADS correspondence. Namely, whenever we want to compute something, some exact non-trivial functions, we should have a situation where we compute flat coordinates or where we have some Picker-Fuchs equations or something like that. And there's also an intriguing mathematical structure. These functions look exactly like mirror maps related to fivefolds. Maybe there's a relation to fivefolds, I don't know. And the coefficients, the integral coefficients which appear here, turn out to be the coefficients related to the coefficients, expansion coefficients of the eta functions. The eta function counts certain singular curves, singular rational curves in K3, and they are known to be in correspondence to 1/2 VPA states. So this makes lots of sense because it's known that on the heterotic side, also the one loop amplitude does get contributions only from 1/2 VPA states. So there's some sort of nice physics consistency check. Thank you.
Questions?
You mean the CHL component?
Type 1
principle. Actually, I didn't quite understand the question. I know in 8 dimensions there's one other component, which is at least one other component, which is the CHL string, which has a gauge group which has rank minus 8. Yeah? But this needs to be uncovered, how that works. Do you mean the CHL component of the heterotic string? Okay. Well, it needs to be done. Presumably, yes. The question was whether this mirror duality between open and closed string sectors somehow reflects the usual what? You said T duality, yeah, between long and short long and short distances. Sorry? Well, I would say so, yes, because in this case, we map this to the T duality of the heterotic string on T2, and it just boils down to find the right coordinate, which sort of describes the short distance physics or the long distance physics, and the map between these coordinates is a mirror map essentially. So, I'm not sure exactly whether you meant this.
Other questions? Well, in that case, let's thank the speaker.